Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Midland Reporter Telegram, Friday, February 24, 2023, Volume 94, Number 251. Read by Leah. Staff Leaving at Highest Rate in 8 Years, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD is losing more staff than any year going back to 2015-2016. The district reported this week that 142 have either resigned or retired, 125, or announced their intent to resign or retire, 17, their respective positions by the end of the school year. In 2018-2019, 86 people had resigned, retired by this point in the school year, according to MISD agenda packet information. The good news is resignations and retirements slowed down in February and March, a total of 3. Still, Midland ISD is headed into its busiest time for resignations and retirements. History shows a vast majority in any year will happen in either May or June. From 2015 to 2016, to 2021 and 2022, Midland resignations and retirements have ranged from 324 to 491. Those respective years may help tell a story about why Midland ISD officials are worried. The district has previously reported and again stated this week that when economic times are good and unemployment is down, that the number of resignations jump. During the 2019-20 school year, when Midland ISD was impacted by the COVID pandemic, resignations and retirements were at the low mark. During the 2017-18 school year, as oil prices and activity increased, so did the number of resignations and retirements, to the high mark going back to 2015-16. Midland finished January with a 2.6 unemployment rate, which tied Amarillo for the lowest in the state. In a report to the board, Midland ISD staff reported that a low unemployment rate can impact a workforce, including a school district, in the following ways. Low unemployment makes recruitment and retention more difficult. Low unemployment often results in lost productivity. Low unemployment could mean future economic issues. Pioneer Natural Resources President and Chief Operating Officer Richard Dealey stated that the total workforce demand in the Permian Basin will increase 95% in 2050 from 2020's levels, the Midland ISD reported. Demand for educators and healthcare providers alone is expected to rise 15% by 2030 from 2020 levels. MISD officials said this week that total number of staff vacancies currently stands just less than 400. Of those, around 139 are teacher positions. Currently helping fill those rooms are 120 long-term subs. One problem teachers are having is with discipline. During the meeting, Trustee Brandon Hodges asked if teachers during their exit interviews mentioned discipline. Absolutely, said Woodrow Bailey, Midland ISD's chief of human capital management. Bailey added there is a teacher shortage taking place across the state and nation, and MISD is working to increase the pipeline. He said MISD gets the most teachers from the University of Texas at El Paso. Ector County leader wants to work with Midland on juvenile jail. By Ben Schaefer. Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett discussed working with Midland County to build a new $90 million regional juvenile detention facility, according to an interview on KWEL Radio Wednesday. Fawcett said Ector and Midland counties are better when they work as a team to leverage as much funding as possible for the Permian Basin. Currently, Midland County's Juvenile Detention Center, the Barbara Culver Juvenile Center, is located at Hogan Park off La Mesa Road. In 2020, Ector County leaders approved certificates of obligation, non-voter-approved bond debt, for a new juvenile detention facility, according to Fawcett. Fawcett said there has been no response to building a facility as large as Ector County leaders want for the $26 million set aside. Fawcett said during the interview that Midland County is in a similar situation with an old, outdated juvenile facility with not enough beds or staff. Fawcett then said he reached out to Midland County Judge Terry Johnson and asked about the possibility of Midland and Ector counties each putting $25 million into the project, while Fawcett asks the state for funding for the regional project. Fawcett claimed Johnson was interested in the idea, and Fawcett went to Austin to ask for funding from the state. My understanding is that we have, in a Senate finance bill, a $40 million appropriation for this regional facility, the Ector County judge said. Johnson is looking to get Midland County on board with the project and secure funding, according to Fawcett. Johnson told the Reporter Telegram he will talk more about Fawcett's comments next week. We're not just solving an Ector County problem. We're not just solving a Midland County problem, Fawcett said during the interview. We're solving an entire West Texas problem just by simply working together. The location of the juvenile center is still being discussed. Originally, Ector County owned land near their jail where a new Ector County juvenile center would be located. However, Fawcett said he has talked to groups like the Permian Strategic Partnership, which is interested in the idea. There's a possibility that some oil and gas companies could donate us some land, perhaps off Farm to Market Road 1788, between the two communities where we could build this facility, Fawcett said. Teddy Innskeep Makes the Horseshoe Arena World Go Round by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Unless you're in the stock show or rodeo business, you've probably never let the dirt quality in the Horseshoe Arena cross your mind. In fact, you probably didn't even know an exact science produces the clay and sand mixture, or that each event, pig shows, barrel races, monster truck rallies, bull rides, dog agility, requires a different dirt height, amount, and firmness. Teddy Innskeep thinks about these factors every day. With 12 years under his belt as groundskeeper, all functionality and time management of the arena falls to Innskeep. Without him or his unique sediment knowledge, the event calendar would stay empty and the arena vacant. Impossible to learn overnight. Teddy's expertise sprout from deep rodeo roots. A Midland resident since 1980, Innskeep grew up just about 3 miles from the Horseshoe, down Cotton Flat Road. As a kid, he and his three brothers traveled all over, watching their dad compete in calf roping, participating in team roping themselves, and even building some of the arenas they played in. Still, nothing compared to the events happening in his own backyard, the Innskeep Arena. My dad had the rights to the Midland County Roping Facility, and we started on Fairgrounds Road when they had that arena out there many, many years ago. But when all that went away, my dad said, "Well, we're just going to do it here at the house," Innskeep recalled. "We started putting them on, and people just kept coming and coming like you wouldn't believe. Every weekend somebody'd call, 'Hey, y'all having roping?' It was a blast." Even with all this experience, there's not anyone more humble than Teddy. When he first approached the Horseshoe about a job, he said he didn't care about the money and, like any of us, just wanted to work doing something he loved, messing with dirt. In any industry, you reap what you sow, and Innskeep's sentiment and enthusiasm propagate the respect and trust of his peers bosses, fellow dirt people, and even the honor of best dirt at a school he attended last year in Utah, where 30 other arena managers from around the country gathered to learn more about plowing and grooming techniques, dirt mixology and content, drags and tractors, and more. Ultimately, being the horseshoe's dirt man is more than just a way to pay for the bills. For Teddy, being part of the Midland community and providing a done-right, near-perfect surface reigns supreme. I love seeing the kids grow up being in the rodeos. That's the reason I care about the dirt, Inskeep admitted. I want to make sure people are safe, have fun, and be able to go home and be glad they came. I try my best to do what I know to do to the dirt, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love it here. DPS. No explosives found during search of Andrews High School after bomb threat, by Midland Reporter-Telegram. The Midland Police Department bomb squad was part of a search of Andrews High School on Thursday following bomb and gun violence threats, according to the Department of Public Safety. No explosives or other devices were located during the search of the school, DPS reported Thursday afternoon. The terroristic threats directed at Andrews High School are still under investigation. DPS officials reported that at approximately 11 a.m. Thursday, the Andrews Police Department received a bomb threat and multiple threats of gun violence directed at Andrews High School. Andrews Police Department, Andrews Sheriff's Office, Gaines County Sheriff's Office, and the Texas Department of Public Safety responded to the school, DPS reported. DPS added that Andrews High School was immediately evacuated and the students were staged at Mustang Bowl Stadium for release. Parents were advised to pick up their children on the east side of the stadium, DPS reported. Midland and Odessa Police Department bomb squads have responded, and a search of the school is being currently conducted. Additionally, police officers and troopers have been placed at all Andrews schools as a precautionary measure. Anyone with information concerning the threats of violence is urged to contact the Andrews Sheriff's Office at 432-523-5545. Representative Pfluger files bill to modernize the Endangered Species Act, by Mella McEwen. Representative August Pfluger has reintroduced the Listing Reform Act, legislation designed to modernize the Endangered Species Act. The Texas Republican, whose District 11 includes Midland and Odessa, said the legislation is intended to prevent the Endangered Species Act as a weapon against the nation's agriculture and energy industries. The Biden administration and radical environmental groups are using the Endangered Species Act, ESA, as a weapon against our critical agriculture and energy industries. We are seeing this play out in real time with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's recent decision to list the lesser prairie chicken under the Endangered Species Act, a move that will have a disastrous impact on American energy and agriculture production, Pfluger said in a statement. My legislation reforms the ESA to deliver reasonable, common-sense protections for endangered species while preventing overbearing regulations coming from Washington, D.C. Notably, the bill also requires the federal government to analyze the actual costs that ESA listings impose on our communities and critical industries. We can protect important species without devastating our local and rural economies. The legislation has the support of the Permian Basin Petroleum Association, as well as the Texas Farm Bureau and Plains Cotton Growers. Congress has to rein in a multitude of federal agencies' efforts to expand their authority beyond their limited scope, Ben Shepard, president of the PBPA, said in a statement. However, perhaps no single act has been abused to harass oil and exploration, oil and gas exploration, agricultural production, and livestock raising more than the Endangered Species Act. Those who work the land were the first conservationists. We are all committed to protecting species and have successfully demonstrated through voluntary conservation plans that we can protect these species and their habitats through private and state government-led action. We support reforms to ensure that our successful efforts can continue, but not at the expense of the fuel, food, and fiber that America and her allies need. We thank Congressman Pfluger for this effort. Cody Besent, Chief Executive Officer of Plains Cotton Growers, Inc., said in a statement supporting Pfluger's legislation, "This bill would modify requirements concerning the review of petitions to add a species to the list of endangered or threatened species, or to remove a species from the list. Arbitrarily reviewing a petition to list a species simply based on when a petition was received, as compared to a more thorough analysis based on sound science, has in times past impacted a producer's ability to produce a crop based on cropping practices that are agronomically sound for a specific region. Therefore, we support modifications for a more thorough review of the listing process and look forward to working with Rep. Pfluger and others on this important issue." Shepherd confirmed to the Reporter-Telegram by email that the PBPA has filed a notice of intent to sue both the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and Department of the Interior over the listing of the lesser prairie chicken. The southern population of the animal, which is found in eastern New Mexico and across southwest Texas Panhandle, is being listed as endangered, while the northern population found in southeastern Colorado, south central to western Kansas, western Oklahoma, and the northeast Texas Panhandle is being listed as threatened. We believe that once again, the Fish and Wildlife Service has ignored the tremendous conservation efforts undertaken by industry and the five state wildlife agencies. These efforts have proven most effective in protecting the species and the habitat, yet the service chose to list in spite of those efforts, Shepherd wrote. The PBPA is being joined in its planned lawsuit by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Texas Cattle Feeders Association, Kansas Livestock Association, Kansas Independent Oil and Gas Association, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, and the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association. The 60-day notice of intent to sue was provided January 19 of this year, and the PBPA is currently working on its legal claims that will be filed at the end of the 60-day period. The association reports it is in talks with additional trade associations, both inside and outside the oil and gas industry, to join the lawsuit. Price of oil, $75.38, up $1.44. Gas price difference between Midland, Odessa, Groves, by Ben Schaefer. Midland, Odessa, and El Paso are the only three West Texas cities with average gasoline prices above $3, according to AAA Texas. The organization reported Thursday that Midland remains home to the second highest prices in the state, $3.11, ranking second behind El Paso at $3.34 of the 27 larger metropolitan areas AAA Texas surveys. The other areas with $3 averages were Texarkana, $3.04, Odessa, $3.03, College Station Bryan, $3.03, Austin, San Marcos, $3, and Longview, $3. The state gas price average dropped below $3 this week, falling 5 cents to $2.97. AAA Texas also reported the gap between Midland and Odessa's prices widened this week, as Odessa saw a 6-cent decrease to $3.03 compared to a 4-cent decrease in Midland. Other prices across the region include $2.91 in San Angelo, a decrease of 6 cents, $2.93 in Abilene, a decrease of 9 cents, $2.95 in Lubbock, a decrease of 4 cents, and $2.99 in Amarillo, a decrease of 3 cents. The price dropped 6 cents in El Paso. McAllen experienced the biggest price decrease statewide with 14 cents. The average in McAllen is also the lowest in Texas at $2.85. U.S. crude oil supplies continue to build, sending oil prices lower, AAA Texas reported. This is good news for drivers looking to save at the pump, as crude accounts for up to 60% of the cost of each gallon of gasoline. The Texas statewide gas price average, which has been fluctuating since the start of the year, dropped below the $3 mark on Tuesday. Demand for fuel has been lower, which is normal during winter months when fewer people drive. Retail gas prices will likely continue to fluctuate and could increase as the weather warms and more people take off on spring break road trips in the coming weeks. Fast Facts. Wright's Amusements Carnival at Sports Complex by Morgan Taylor Thomas. What? The traveling fair known as Wright's Amusements has made its first 2023 season debut in Midland. As the longest-running carnival in North America, the crew carries more than 40 rides. In Midland, these rides cover Astound Stadium's entire front parking lot and include a Ferris wheel, slides, a drop tower, fast go-kart-like contraptions, kid-friendly smaller rides, and more. For food, guests will find concession stands having cotton candy, corn dogs, funnel cakes, sodas, caramel apples, and more throughout the parking lot. When? Friday through March 5th. According to previous years, the carnival usually opens at 5 p.m. during the week and noon on weekdays. Where? 801 North Loop 250 West. How? Admission into the fair is free. However, if you're wanting to enjoy the rides, make sure to purchase tickets at the ticket booth. Tickets cost $1 each, and rides usually take 3 to 6 tickets. Valtech donates $50,000 to Petroleum Museum, STEAM Center. By Mella McEwen. Valtech LLC has managed to cook up a $50,000 donation for the Permian Basin Petroleum Museum. Valtech, which engineers and manufactures high-performance hydraulic fracturing pumps, parts, and expendables, was awarded $50,000 after being named Grand Champion at the Daniel Energy Partners Barbecue Cook-Off in September. The prize money was to be contributed to a charity of the winner's choice, and Valtech chose the Petroleum Museum. The museum plans to use the contribution toward the new Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math STEAM Education Center. The new 8,000-square-foot building will offer interactive indoor and outdoor learning facilities, which will double the number of student programs offered annually. Tyler Smith, the general manager, Valtech, said, "The Petroleum Museum has been an integral part of the Permian Basin, and Valtech is proud to support the museum's goals that focus on further developing the oil and gas industry through educational programs and interactive exhibits. We are thrilled to contribute to a local nonprofit organization in the community Valtech has called home for more than 40 years." Daniel Energy Partners' annual event was a huge success, and we appreciate their generosity in making this donation possible. Kathy Shannon, executive director of the museum, said, "Through the generosity of donors such as Valtech, we are able to make the new STEAM Education Center a reality. We look forward to continuing to offer inspiring programs for visitors to gain a deeper understanding of the petroleum industry." Valtech has been a leading manufacturer of high-quality, high-performance hydraulic fracturing pumps and aftermarket support for the oil and gas industry since 1979. Valtech designs and manufactures well service pumps, power ends, fluid ends, parts, and expendables at their top-rated Permian Basin facility. Four Questions with Paranormal Cirque's Contortionist by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Set up in the northwest side of the Midland Park Mall parking lot, Midlanders can find Traveling Horror Circus, Paranormal Cirque. A frightful yet entertaining sight, the show will run Thursday through March 5th. Guests must be at least 13 years old, and if under 17, they must be accompanied by a 21-plus adult. Tasty treats, such as popcorn and soda, as well as souvenirs, will be available for purchase. Tickets range from $10 to $50 and can be bought at the ticket booth or ahead of time online at www.paranormalcirque.com. Use code FACE5OFF for $5 off each ticket. Show times 7:30 p.m. February 23, 24, 27, March 1, 2, and 3, 6:30 p.m., and 9:30 p.m., February 25, 26, March 4, and 5. Ahead of Paranormal Cirque's opening night, the Reporter-Telegram sat down with the show's general manager and contortionist, Ben Holland, about his start in the circus world and life with paranormal. How do you get started in the circus world? Really, I just got out of high school, didn't have a job, and the only thing I knew how to do was pop all my bones out of place. A circus came to my town, and I went up to the guy that was in charge and said, "Hey, can I have a job, please?" He said, "Yeah, sure, whatever." Didn't even ask what I was going to do, just said yes. I've been at Paranormal Cirque for about 4 years now. Working in circuses is really the only job I've ever had, and I've been traveling around the United States performing acrobatic feats all over the place. I had a friend who worked here that set me up with a job, and it's been great. We've been everywhere. What kind of training do you have to do as a contortionist? I've been training since I was 8 years old. I saw a guy on TV doing tricks like that and started doing little by little every day. It's a lot of general flexibility training, stretching and strength training. There was a point where I got too flexible and started popping my knees out of place without meaning to. I started talking to people who are real professionals because I'd just been training myself. And they said you have to have the flexibility to be able to move, but the strength to keep yourself together. It's a very pure art form. What's been one of the more challenging parts of circus life? The most challenging part is always just the logistics of it all. Trying to ship a big cannon and a bunch of equipment across the country every single week, it's quite a circuit. But we always find a way to make it work, and dealing with challenges like that is what makes you strong. COVID was certainly its own kind of challenge. How are you going to gather a bunch of people when you're not allowed to gather a bunch of people? Midland was the very last place we had before the pandemic hit. Everything shut down except for us. We were only closed for 2 months. We would do 7, 8, 9 shows a day for no more than 100 people at a time. It was exhausting, but you had to do what you could to keep going. That's something we're very proud of. Why should people come out to the show? You'll see something for sure that you've never seen before in your life. We have artists here from all around the world, the best of the best of the best. They're here to share with you what they can do, something they've been specialized to do their whole life. It's really just an incredible feat. Pioneer reports quarterly profit of $1.48 billion, Associated Press. Irving, Pioneer Natural Resources Company, PXD, on Wednesday reported fourth quarter earnings of $1.48 billion. On a per-share basis, the Irving-based company said it has had net income of $5.98. Earnings adjusted for non-recurring gains came to $5.91 per share. The results exceeded Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of 11 analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of 5.83 per share. The independent oil and gas company posted revenue of $5.11 billion in the period, which did not meet street forecasts. Seven analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $5.66 billion. For the year, the company reported profit of $7.85 billion, or 31.13 cents per share. Revenue was reported as $24.29 billion. Permian Resources, Q4 Earnings Snapshot. Permian Resources Corporation on Wednesday reported fourth quarter earnings of $83.1 million. The Midland, Texas-based company said it had net income of 26 cents per share. Earnings, adjusted for non-recurring costs and costs related to mergers and acquisitions, came to 43 cents per share. The results missed Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of four analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of 49 cents per share. The company posted revenue of $761.6 million in the first period, exceeding street forecasts. Four analysts served by Zacks expected $736 million. For the year, the company reported profits of $515 million, or $1.61 per share. Revenue was reported as $2.13 billion. Midland Reporter Telegram, 36th Annual Regional Spelling Bee, sponsored by Diamondback Energy. Saturday, February 25th, 2023, Midland College, 10 a.m. Spellers to check in no later than 9:30 a.m. Wagner and Brown Auditorium inside the Allison Fine Arts Building at Midland College. 38 spellers from our region will be competing in the 36th Annual MRT Regional Spelling Bee for the opportunity to represent our region at the Scripps National Spelling Bee, which will be held in Washington, D.C. from May 28 to June 2nd. Pronouncer, Chris Brown. Department Chair, Professor of English, Integrated Reading and Writing at Midland College. Judges, Matt Glazer, Assistant Director 2, Community Engagement with the Midland County Public Libraries, and Lacey Morrow, English Teacher, Early College High School. These students are scheduled to compete in the Regional B from their respective schools. Note, pictures and information for the students listed here were provided by local school B coordinators. Not all students listed here may be competing at the MRT Regional Spelling Bee, as the final list of participants is subject to change. Texas Has a Warning for Its Pensions, by Danielle Moran and Shelley Hagen, Bloomberg. Texas Comptroller Glenn Hagar is stepping up his battle against so-called sustainable investing, telling state money managers that they haven't done enough to cut ties with BlackRock, Inc., and other financial firms that he says boycott the oil and gas industry. Hagar sent the letters late Wednesday to five Texas government employee pension funds and an entity that manages money for the public school systems, strongly encouraging them to sever all relationships with companies on his office's divestment list, according to copies of the missives seen by Bloomberg News. The move follows a 2021 law that requires state entities to sell their shares in financial companies or investment funds that limit business with the fossil fuel industry. In August, Hagar released a list of 10 companies, including BlackRock and UBS Group AG, and more than 300 individual funds that he says discriminate against oil and gas. The demands laid out by Hagar increased pressure on state agencies that manage hundreds of billions of dollars in assets to completely cut off the firms on the boycott list. While the state firms indicate they didn't own direct stakes in the financial companies, Hagar said that an examination of their holdings and business relationships showed that some still had investment funds issued by the companies or were paying the firms for services such as analytics or risk management. His findings indicate some uncertainty about what exactly is required to comply with the law, which carves out exceptions for some private equity investments and allows the state funds to seek an exemption if severing the ties would violate their fiduciary duty to pensioners. We can play all the nuances we want. That keeps the lawyers in their job, Hagar, a Republican serving his third term, said in an interview. But the simple matter is that entities that boycott oil and gas should not be doing business with the state of Texas. Bloomberg reported Wednesday that the teacher retirement system of Texas uses BlackRock to manage about $4 billion of its assets, or about 2.2% of the $179.7 billion total. A TRS spokesman said that the money manager was following state law about the proper divestments. Texas is at the forefront of a national movement in GOP-led states to banish what's known as ESG investing, which takes environmental, social, and governance concerns into account rather than simply the potential for profit. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Texas Governor Greg Abbott have seemed to be in a competition to see who can take the most drastic action. BlackRock and its chief executive officer Larry Fink have been a particular focus. The financial firms, for their part, say they absolutely do not boycott fossil fuels and in some cases are large holders in oil and gas companies via their funds. They say the sustainable investment offerings are in response to demand from clients and that they are also offering many investment options that don't incorporate any type of ESG screening. The companies listed as energy boycotters should not be permitted to benefit from assets invested for the future of Texans while simultaneously undermining our state's economic future. Hagar, who political observers say may seek higher office after his current term expires, said in letters. He strongly encourages them to explore alternatives and invest with a new partner that does not boycott energy companies. BlackRock is mentioned in five of the letters. Those that went to the Texas Municipal Retirement System, the Employees Retirement System of Texas, the Texas Emergency Services Retirement System, the Teacher Retirement System of Texas, and the Texas Permanent School Fund. The sixth letter, to the Texas County and District Retirement System, mentions its relationships with UBS and Credit Suisse Group AG. BlackRock, UBS, and Credit Suisse declined to comment, as did the Employees Retirement System and Teachers Retirement System. The four other Texas investment entities didn't respond to emails and phone calls seeking comment. Hagar requested a response from the state entities about their investments with the listed firms, but didn't give a timeline for doing so. He says he needs a detailed understanding of their positions, and while his office lacks enforcement powers, he expects legislators will hold hearings on the issue and will make sure firms are following the law. I don't have the ability to force someone to divest, but I do have the ability to make them be transparent, Hagar said in the interview, with assistance from Sia Brush. Texas regulator touts power plant upgrades as costs sow doubts. By Noreen S. Malik, Bloomberg. Texas's top electricity regulator touted progress under a plan to pay generators extra to meet power crises, even as opposition grows over the program's $460 million in annual costs to businesses and homeowners. In January and February, in just a couple months, there have been several thousand megawatts announced of new dispatchable generation, Peter Lake, chairman of the Texas Public Utilities Commission, said in an interview. The performance credit mechanism, which would provide generators extra revenue to build more power plants, is seen as a way to avoid a repeat of deadly blackouts that took place in February 2021 after widespread power plant failures. PCM, backed by Governor Greg Abbott, would cost households and businesses about $460 million a year, according to a report by an independent consultant hired by the state. Within the past month, Calpine Corps said it started development for roughly 425-megawatt natural gas-fired power plant about midway between Dallas and Houston. The Lower Colorado River Authority said it will build a 192-megawatt plant in central Texas, and Wattbridge said it has plans to develop another 1,600 megawatts of generation. 1 gigawatt is typically enough to power 200,000 homes in the state. Lake said Texans are ready to accept the notion of generator payouts and are willing to pay the extra $2 to a monthly bill of $100 for an improved grid. The state legislature is debating the merits of the proposals and alternatives. At a recent hearing, lawmakers voiced concerns the payouts would turn into blank checks for plant owners, fail to drive enough investment in new power plants, and open the door for market manipulation and other abuses. Lake said the protections will be put in place to ensure that doesn't happen. ERCOT Chief Executive Officer Pablo Vegas countered the state will indeed face capacity shortfalls because of strong demand growth if the right incentives aren't put in place now. On Wednesday, at InfoCast's Summit of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, the operator of the state grid, some panelists said the PCM doesn't tackle the right problem to begin with. Instead of a shortage of generating capacity, ERCOT lacks fast-reacting power plants, known as peaker gas plants, and increasingly batteries that can keep the grid stable in real time. The energy-only market does not survive with the creation of this type of capacity market, and in doing so, the PCM will shift the risk of building generation to consumers from investors, said Resmi Surinderan, vice president of Shell Energy North America. Katie Coleman, an attorney for the Texas Industrial Energy Consumers, said there's no doubt PCM is creating a market that allows regulators to determine how much money generators should be paid for future capacity and consequently have the ability to move billions of dollars to those operators. The state should create targeted incentives for specific types of power supply rather than an annual market that pays the broader market every year, she said. A hallmark of the capacity market is mistrusting the competitive market itself, Coleman said. State increases energy sector transportation funding by $1 billion, by Stuart Doreen. Governor Greg Abbott on Thursday announced a record 10-year, $100 billion statewide road construction project plan with the Texas Department of Transportation. And according to the Permian Strategic Partnership, that means another $1 billion in funding for energy sections across the state. The Permian Strategic Partnership applauds the decision of the Texas Transportation Commission, which oversees the Texas Department of Transportation, to increase the funding distribution to the Texas energy sector by over $1 billion in the proposed 2024 Unified Transportation Program, UTP. PSP Chairman Don Evans wrote in a statement, Permian Basin energy companies and other energy companies across the state paid $10.8 billion in state severance taxes in fiscal year 2022 alone, helping fund infrastructure across Texas. Abbott stated that the record funding across the state will increase the number of transportation projects to improve congestion, maintain roadways, and increase safety across Texas. The proposed 2024 Unified Transportation Program is estimated to be $15 billion more than the 2023 UTP and is primarily based on the record projected revenue from state sources. At the PSP, we believe that strong transportation infrastructure is a key driver of economic development, and we are committed to working with partners across Texas to ensure that our roads, highways, and bridges are up to the task of supporting our growing economy. Evans wrote, "With this increased investment in transportation infrastructure, we are confident that Texas will continue to be a leader in innovation, entrepreneurship, and opportunity for generations to come." In August 2022, Abbott announced the adoption of Texas DOT's 2023 UTP program that advances an $85 billion 10-year statewide roadway construction plan. The previous UTP included funding in Midland County for the widening of Interstate 20, the improvement at the intersection of State Highway 158 and County Road 60, Briarwood, the intersection of SH 158 and Wadley Avenue, improvements to State Highway 349, Big Spring Street, through Midland, the Loop 250 interchange through Midland, and Business 20 intersections at Avalon Drive and County Road 1250. Under Texas DOT's 2024 Unified Transportation Program, we will dedicate critical funds to bolster our major roadway infrastructure to address the unique needs of Texans in rural, urban, and metropolitan communities, Abbott said in a news release. This 10-year plan will further boost our economy and keep Texas the economic juggernaut of the nation. Together, we are working to ensure that Texas remains the premier destination for people and businesses. The UTP is a planning document that guides the development of transportation projects across the state. Local group collecting water for East Palestine, Ohio. By Mella McEwen. Midlanders wanting to help out residents of East Palestine, Ohio, in the aftermath of the train derailment can donate bottled water to a shipment being arranged by the Oil and Gas Workers Association. Trucks and hotshots have been secured to take pallets of water to the East Palestine area. There is still space on the trailers for donations. The collection is part of the National Oil Workers EPA Clean Water Now initiative. Those wishing to help can drop off donations at Basin Roofing, 8220 East Highway 191 Frontage Road, and ask for Miranda Sullivan or at Hutch's Oilfield Supply, 10808 West County Road 100 in Odessa. Ask for Travis Austin or Clay Hutchinson. For those who cannot donate water in person, financial donations can be made at ogwausa.com/EPA Clean Water Now. All donations received will be used to send clean water to impacted residents in the East Palestine area. Alec Baldwin pleads not guilty in shooting, can still work. By Morgan Lee, Associated Press. Actor Alec Baldwin has pleaded not guilty to felony charges of involuntary manslaughter in the shooting death of a cinematographer on the set of a Western movie and waived his first formal court appearance in court documents filed Thursday. Baldwin and a weapons supervisor were charged last month with felony involuntary manslaughter in the shooting death of cinematographer Halnya Hutchins, who died shortly after being wounded during rehearsals at a ranch on the outskirts of Santa Fe in October 2021. Baldwin agreed to forego a hearing to have his rights explained to him. A judge on Thursday set conditions of release that allow Baldwin to have limited contact with potential witnesses in connection with plans to completing the filming of Rust. Prosecutors and defense attorneys are preparing for a likely preliminary hearing within a few months to determine whether there is sufficient evidence to proceed to trial. Other provisions of Baldwin's pretrial release include a prohibition on consuming alcohol and against any possession of weapons, including firearms. Defendant is permitted to have contact with potential witnesses only in connection with completing the Rust movie and other related and unrelated business matters, provided, however, that defendant is not permitted to discuss the accident at issue, State District Judge Mary Marlowe Sommer said in a signed order. The involuntary manslaughter charges against Baldwin, a lead actor and co-producer on Rust, and armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed are punishable by up to 18 months in jail and a $5,000 fine under New Mexico law. Authorities say Baldwin was pointing a pistol at Hutchins when the gun went off, killing her and wounding director Joel Souza. Baldwin's attorney, Luke Nikas, said when the charges were formally announced that they were a terrible miscarriage of justice. He said Baldwin relied on the professionals with whom he worked and had no reason to believe there was a live bullet in the gun. Work on Rust was halted with Hutchins' death. Rust Movie Productions says filming is expected to resume this spring without the use of real weapons or ammunition. Mexican national sentenced to 24 years for distributing meth in Midland, Odessa, by Mercedes Cordero. A Mexican national was sentenced Wednesday to 24 years in prison for distributing methamphetamine, according to the Justice Department. Julio Cesar Benuelas Gutierrez, 47, of Camargo, Chihuahua, distributed 2 pounds of methamphetamine every 2 weeks in the Midland-Odessa area, totaling at least 12 pounds, according to court documents. On at least one occasion, Banuelas Gutierrez also exchanged firearms for methamphetamine, according to court moments. The Odessa and Midland Police Department Joint Task Force investigated the case. The substantial sentence imposed in this case reflects our unwavering commitment to protect our communities and bring drug traffickers to justice, said U.S. Attorney Jaime Esparza of the Western District of Texas. My appreciation goes out to all the law enforcement officers involved who made it possible for us to prosecute and put an end to this dealer's activities. Obituaries and death notices. William Raymond Sessom. William Raymond Sessom, 85, passed away on February 17, 2023, in San Angelo. Services will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, February 24, 2023, at Harper Funeral Home Chapel. Family and friends can view the obituary at www.harper-funeralhome.com.
This is Christy, and I'm continuing to read the Odessa American for Friday, February 24th, 2023. Draft plan gives Basin Roads $1 billion boost. Thursday's announcement that the Texas Transportation Commission is increasing the funding distribution to the Texas energy sector by over $1 billion is welcome news to the Permian Basin. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, addressed the commission Wednesday. He said the investment in the Permian Basin and the safety of roads is monumental for the area and that he is hopeful the draft plan becomes a reality in August. Today, the Texas Transportation Commission announced that its draft plan for the next 10 years includes an incredible $1 billion for energy sector and road funding. This is an awesome blessing to our region, which desperately needs the state to continue its recent investment in our transportation infrastructure as a part of Governor Greg Abbott and Commissioner Bruce Bugg's Permian Promise. Landgraf said he has not been shy about fighting for infrastructure funds for his district. He said when he was elected, the region only received about $50 million per year from TxDOT. since I was appointed to the House Transportation Committee in 2019. That number has jumped to $360 million per year. After working with the commissioners over the last several years, I took the opportunity to speak to the Texas Transportation Commission today to thank them for making the Permian Basin a priority and continue to advocate for the resources that our region desperately needs. I'm hopeful that the draft plan will become a reality and will work hard in the coming months to see that it is adopted by the Transportation Commission in August. Permian Strategic Partnership Chairman Don Evans, via news release, welcomed the proposed investment in Permian Basin roads. Evans and the PSP have been instrumental in addressing the roadway woes of the Permian Basin in recent years. Permian Basin energy companies and other energy companies across the state paid $10.8 billion in state severance taxes in fiscal year 2022 alone, helping fund infrastructure across Texas. With today's announcement, we are pleased to see additional funds returning to the basin, helping build and repair infrastructure that will help fuel our local, state, national, and global economy for years to come. Evans praised Governor Abbott, Chairman Bruce Bug, Commissioner Alvin New, and Commissioner Robert Vaughn for their leadership and continued investment in the Permian Basin's future. At the PSP, we believe that strong transportation infrastructure is a key driver of economic development, and we are committed to working with partners across Texas to ensure that our roads, highways, and bridges are up to the task of supporting our growing economy. Evans said, with this increased investment in transportation infrastructure, we are confident that Texas will continue to be a leader in innovation, entrepreneurship, and opportunity for generations to come. The Permian Basin segment was just part of a plan announced Thursday that is a $10 billion statewide roadway construction plan. Abbott announced a record 10-year, $100 billion statewide roadway construction plan with the Texas Department of Transportation, TxDOT, that will increase the number of transportation projects to improve congestion, maintain roadways, and increase safety across Texas. The proposed 2024 Unified Transportation Program, UTP, is estimated to be $15 billion more than the 2023 UTP and is primarily based on the record projected revenue from state sources. I'm proud to announce a record $100 billion plan to strengthen and improve our transportation infrastructure, Abbott said via news release. Under TxDOT's 2024 Unified Transportation Program, we will dedicate critical funds to bolster our major roadway infrastructure to address the unique needs of Texans in rural, urban, and metropolitan communities. This 10-year plan will further boost our economy and keep Texas the economic juggernaut of the nation. Together, we are working to ensure that Texas remains the premier destination for people and businesses. As the state of Texas continues to see exponential population and economic growth, this funding will help meet the needs of all Texans, said Texas Transportation Commission Chairman J. Bruce Bug, Jr. As cities grow every year, it's important we continue to address congestion in our busiest parts of the state through our Texas Clear Lanes initiative, which is also set to get a significant boost. Safety is a top priority for TxDOT, and these funding levels reflect that, said Executive Director Mark Williams. This historic unified transportation plan allows the department to deliver on a record number of projects that are not only innovative, but will help improve safety for all Texans. These efforts can and do have real impacts on our ability to drastically reduce fatalities on our roadways. In August 2022, Governor Abbott announced the adoption of TxDOT's 2023 Unified Transportation Program, UTP, that advances an $85 billion 10-year statewide roadway construction plan. The UTP is a planning document that guides the development of transportation projects across the state. Additionally, the UTP identifies public transportation, maritime, aviation, and rail investments. projects are selected by TxDOT and local transportation leaders based on effectiveness in addressing criteria such as safety, pavement condition, capacity, and rural connectivity, with opportunities for public input at both the state and local levels.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.